asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
That's right, kids. Time for a little fish talk. We call him the Doc here on Outdoor Journal Radio. His name is Gord Peiser. He is the award-winning fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine, Canada's Coast to Coast to Coast. I was brought to task by the Weather Network guy. He told me there was only two coasts, not four.
That was Chris.
Chris. Yeah. Oh, Chris Whaley. Chris Whaley. Right. Yeah. Sorry. I knew there was a Chris involved in that. His name is Gord Peiser. Hey, Gordy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ange. I was sleuthing there yesterday. I listened in on the live broadcast with you. I had to figure out. I knew you were Curly, but I didn't know who Larry and Mo were.
Is it that obvious, Gord?
Not anymore, but it was.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Good stuff. Did I hear correctly you took your boat out fishing first time for this year?
I know you've got the weather. I was talking to Derek there as we were leading in, and he was saying you guys have got that beautiful weather we've had for the last week. But we had a couple days in that 2021. Winnipeg, just to the west of us, was 23. Regina,
wow.
27. We launched, and it was Liam said to me, God, I forgot how good it is to be out in the boat. But yeah, we went out. There was a little bit of ice left on Lake of the Woods, especially where the ice road had been. It drives the frost down. So here we are in 70 plus Fahrenheit degree temperatures, 20 plus Celsius, shirt sleeves. We're boating down the lake. And yeah, you know, we got a couple of nice smallmouth. They're still out in relatively deep water. But it was more getting that first nice run in the boat and just putting a few minutes on the motor. But boy, did it ever feel good to get back out.
Oh, that fresh air, huh? Man.
It was spectacular. Spectacular.
I want to talk to you about this upcoming blog you've got going on the Ontario Tourism site about bass and sculpin, the connection between the two. This is a fascinating subject I don't think most of us know enough about.
Well, Ange, you know, that's actually what I said in the piece. You've seen this, and I know you've experienced, and you've been one of the guys. You and Pete have come north and fished, and you brought your Southern Ontario techniques. It's actually relatively rare when folks come from Southern Ontario in the U.S. and they come north, and they actually put on a clinic for the locals.
Yeah.
But it is the case, and the guys in the north, I will say this, and folks who come north don't realize that the southern techniques work better in northern Ontario often than they do down where you live, and it's because you guys can bring your goby techniques. Now, fortunately, and we're lucky, there are no gobies at all in northern Ontario, but when you bring your goby techniques north, Ange, they work better, and it's because the average angler could not distinguish a sculpin from a goby. They are
exactly.
Absolutely identical. The only difference is a goby has fused pectoral fins, so those fins that look like their arms, if you will, they're fused together, and on a sculpin, they're separate. But if you put a goby and a sculpin in your hand and looked at them, the average angler couldn't tell them apart. And yet we haven't recognized in the North Country some of those great goby techniques that you're using, and we haven't adapted them. And it's why you and Pete can come north, do the very same things, and put on a clinic that just wows the locals.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'd learned something a long time ago. When I say a long time ago, I'm going back to the roots of the Fish in Canada show when we first started shooting in Western Canada and BC, and using some of the presentations and techniques and baits that they used out there, and thinking, well, if it works out here, would it work back home? And we started cross-pollinating. You know, we started using salmon spoons that were prevalent here and very successful here. We started using them out west and vice versa. And sure as heck, they work. You know, fish are fish. And both of them work here and there. And that's where we started getting the idea about this cross-pollination.
And the other thing, Ange, we condition fish. So when you go out west and try some of those techniques from the Great Lakes, or when you come north and fish some of your goby presentations, the fish don't see it as a goby. They see it as a sculpin, but they've never seen it before. And yeah. So the local guides have been doing things. We've conditioned the fish almost to avoid our baits. You and Pete come up and you throw out a goby big-headed. Maybe you got it on a three-quarter ounce football head, or you stuff a tube jig and you drag it along the bottom, like the eerie drag was what one of the things I was talking about. And you come up and do that eerie drag on Lake Nipissing or along the north shore of Lake Huron or Lake of the Woods, that eerie drag is absolutely amazing. And and the local guys go, eerie drag? This isn't Lake Erie.
No, isn't it true, though? But as I've said a million times, fish are fish. Give them what they want, and they'll bite every time, right? It's when we don't give them what they want that we usually have a problem. But that's a great observation. And when's this blog coming out?
Well, it's kind of interesting. The folks have asked me to keep writing them, but the last two, they're sitting. They're ready to be hit the button from the folks at Ontario Tourism. But because of the travel restrictions now, they don't want to put them up online. So actually, the Ontario Tourism Board, if you will, and the Facebook page is frozen right now. So they're just waiting for the go-ahead to get the permission to hit that send button, and then they go up. So hopefully within the next week to 10 days.
And it's a great lead in into my next point I want to cover with you. I had Ted Putnam on the program earlier on today from Hawk Lake Lodge, not far from you. And we were talking about, what's going on and how he's coping and, you know, what can we expect. And he made an interesting observation. He pointed out to me that there was a survey recently released in Northern Ontario. What was it called, Stephen? Do you have it?
I think it's the ATAO.
Or ITAO or something like that.
Yeah.
Did a recent survey up in Northern Ontario, and they're predicting that this situation, this pandemic, could see as many as 40% of the operators in Ontario, in Northern Ontario, not come out of this.
Even on a good year, Ange, one third of the tourist operators in Northern Ontario on an average year, many years, one third of them either change ownership or worse. It has an impact, no question about it. You know, as it's impacting on so many other things. But again, you look at the alternative. I saw yesterday in the U.S. in that worst case scenario, and fortunately we've avoided it there and here, but they were talking up to 2 million was their worst case deaths, and we've avoided 2 million, touch wood, so far.
Well, get out in the boat and avoid it all, my friend. Stay out in the boat.
And you will love this, though. Again, Liam drove down to the launch ramp. I met him there. I launched the boat. He never touched it. He sat in the back seat. I said, I'll net the fish today. You don't touch the net. And so we're in a 21-foot boat, and we were 20 foot separated.
There you go. True social isolation at its best out of Kenora. Gordy, thank you, my friend. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too, and take care.
Gord Peiser, Outdoor Canada Magazine. Check them out, outdoorcanada.ca. That are it, folks. We're out of here. Have yourself a great weekend. On behalf of the entire Outdoor Journal crew, I was going to say Fishing Canada. You know, hearing that song. Stephen Laverty behind the glass, Derek Brandeo, Sarah, myself, saying have a great weekend, folks, and get outside, but keep it safe. Talk to you next Saturday.